What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everybody, it is your host Nicole Mendez for the Diamond in the South podcast. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe for all your updates to SEC softball, the news, the dirt, the tea, whatever you want to call it, it's all here. And not only for Diamond in the South on the Softball America podcast network, but the rest of the podcast as well. You're going to see different conferences, different takes, just different experiences. Make sure you guys go and check them out. But in the meantime, we are back. Week six just wrapped up, and it is a big time in college softball. I feel like as things get settled into conference season, you start to see these teams take shape. You start to see their personalities. You start to see, okay, are they tough? Are they consistent? Is it a fluke? What does it look like? So we're going to kind of break all that down a little bit later. But first, we have a very, very special guest. And this is special to my heart. This is Oklahoma softball, Nelly McEnroe Morenas. She is joining us today on the pod, and I am so, so excited anytime I get to talk to a fellow Sooner sister. So, Nelly, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be here and to see you.
I'm so glad. Obviously, I'm the highlight. Of course. Okay, first question. First year of SEC. So you got to experience 1 year of Big 12. First year of SEC. What has it been like so far? You guys just had your first road trip. Like, what was that? How fun was that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been so exciting. I mean, the competition here, great, amazing. We love that. But it's just been, like, it's just exciting. I mean, the vibes are different for some reason. I don't know why. But, I mean, it's just been so fun. I mean, this team loves competition, and we love kind of fighting for, you know, the things that we have, things that we've done. So it's just been great so far.
Yeah, I mean, talk about competition. I mean, that last game was back and forth. It was so much fun to watch. I was like following along on Twitter because I was like, oh, man, they scored. It was so good. And then obviously the Gassos being able to have that family reunion. I bet that was really fun to see.
Yeah,
good. Love them. Okay, so getting into the nitty gritty, getting into OU softball, I think sometimes whenever I bring it up, and I'm not even playing anymore at OU, but whenever I bring up the dominance of OU, because you have to, the thought is like, Oklahoma, I'm over it. I'm done. I'm sick of them winning. Can somebody else win? And this year, the way that I viewed it, kind of as an outsider looking in, is this is a totally new team. Like, this is a completely new team. You had all the seniors graduate, but at the same time, there is enough of the players on the current team, yourself included, that have been there, that have been able to watch what those seniors did and learn, okay, like, what does it mean to have a championship mindset? What does it mean to play at that level? So even though it's a new team, it's just, okay, how quickly can we get there? How quickly can we stay there? I think that's the hardest part. Tell me a little bit about championship mindset in this team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously this team is not the same as last year's team, but I also feel like we're kind of stepping into a different role of not really fighting for, say, a 5P that everyone's talking about, but more of getting the first for this team. So I feel like as we kind of stepped into learning about championship mindset, we kind of took it as just being blue collar. I mean, like, doing everything that we need to do no matter what. Never surrendering, never letting the pressures overcome us in a sense, but just like, just kind of being, like I said, blue collar and just getting things done no matter what. And I feel like every single person on this team is buying into that. So it's kind of making it easier for us to kind of live, not necessarily at that standard, but at the expectation that we've set for ourselves.
Yeah. Two things that I really loved from that was the perspective of like, if you live for last year, like you're never going to live in the moment. You're never going to play in the moment. You're never going to fully be able to embrace, enjoy, or even play up to what you possibly could if you're always living in the past. So I love that perspective of like, this is a first for this team. Like the goal, the object is this year, like nothing exists outside of that. So I love that. But also my second question is, how many times has Coach Gasso brought up blue collar? Has she mentioned Rosie the Riveter yet? She sat us down one year and we had like a 40-minute conversation as a team. And she told us the backstory of Rosie the Riveter. And she's like fired up. And she's like, we're blue collar, like all this stuff. She threatened to make us practice over at Reeves, which I mean, like, I guess now the threat would be to make you guys practice at Marita Hines. Like, I don't know, but I remember those conversations well. So I'm curious.
Yeah. I mean, Coach has definitely instilled blue collar in us. I mean, we would go back and watch your guys' film. And she was like, this is what it looks like. This is the nitty gritty. And then talking about Reeves, we actually did go back and practice at Marita.
You practiced? Yeah. Oh, I love it. We that. Did.
And we absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. For some reason, it's just like that field is just so like, I don't know. The vibes on that field are just so much different than they are at Love's just because of the history of that field. So when she brings up blue collar, we're like, let's go back to Marita. Let's go practice there. Like, we love it. Yeah, but she's definitely instilled that in us.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, I think what makes Oklahoma so good is the idea of it doesn't matter where you are. You have to be able to work hard. You have to be able to put in the work, because if you don't, it doesn't matter how talented you are. Everybody else is talented too. It's just the little things that really make a difference. The toughness. So you have to ask her about Rosie the Riveter.
Okay.
I heard you brought that up to a different team. Like what's the deal about that?
Okay.
Last thing on that. So after the Rosie Riveter, she also talked to us about her. She calls her the great philosopher, Janet Jackson. She loves her. And then she like had to sit down and she like gave a spoken word and she was just reading Janet Jackson song lyrics. And she's like, who said this? And we're like, I don't know. And then she made us listen to a Janet Jackson album. And then we went and practiced. It was great. But yeah, I was like, man, I love that she is still doing that because it's so important to be able to keep that mindset, to keep that toughness around. Because if you're playing at Oklahoma, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Everybody brings their best. So yeah. And then going into, all right, like year one, obviously this is a lot of new faces, transfers, freshmen, graduates are gone away and the people with the most experience are still pretty young. For you, you had to redshirt last year and you were injured and you had to sit and you had to watch. And as somebody who was injured in college and having to sit and watch, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I want to contribute. I want to do something. And it was so hard to be able to just be still and learn from watching that senior class. Like, what is the biggest thing that you felt like you learned? Because I think sometimes it provides a different perspective than if you're in it practicing with them day in and day out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I've kind of learned is just the way they handle things. And I feel like kind of watching from the side, it was like looking at them, you would never know if we were winning by 20 or if we were losing by one, losing by 10. It's just the way that they carried themselves was very, very mature. And I feel like as we went on to the World Series, like obviously I'm sitting in the dugout and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is insane. And then you look at the seniors and they're like, yeah, been there, done that. Like this is just another game. And I'm like, oh,
okay. You're like, be cool.
Yeah. So I'm like, see, now I'm like, oh, I can't look starstruck right now. Like I need to like calm down. So I feel like just the way that they handle themselves kind of made me look back at like, okay, like I'm playing at the top level now, so I need to learn how to handle myself, handle my body language, my face, because my facial expressions are not great. Yeah. But besides from that, it's just their level of understanding of the game was just so incredibly, like, insane that I was, like, taking charting seriously. I was like, I'm going to learn everything I can from the sides, whether that's charting, whether that's learning all the cheers, cheering in any way I can. So I think it was just the way that they handled themselves that made me, like, really – that kind of opened my eyes the most to what Oklahoma softball is all about.
Yeah, I mean, it's next level. It's different. Mm-hmm. So this year – getting to play finally, and you're like, let's go, I'm ready, I learned a lot, and you get voted captain. That's a different role than just playing, not playing, whatever, but just being a captain. Like, there's another level of responsibility and accountability that you're held to, not just by coach, but by your teammates, by yourself. Tell me a little bit about how that has been, just kind of navigating through that.
Yeah, I mean, it's being in this captain role is just an honor, like, as is, just knowing, like, all the many great players that came before me and kind of, like, getting to learn from TRA and Hanson last year. It's just such an honor, and I'm very grateful this year that I'm, like, I'm not really doing everything alone just because there's a handful of girls on this team who've also been there and done that. So mm-hmm. we've kind of been contributing in that area as well. But, I mean, it's easy to be a captain in this specific team just because you know everyone on this team wants it and they're all in and they're all working hard. So it's like I really don't have to do as much just because everyone's so bought in to what this program is and what it expects of us that, like, just another player on the team just so happens to be wearing the captain patch.
Yeah, that's pretty cool because, I mean, you know how it is with girls. It is not easy to get a big group of girls to buy in 100%, to be bought in 70%. That's hard. So that's awesome. And you're definitely seeing that with the fight. Talk about blue collar mentality, championship mindset, all of that. Like, you see that with Oklahoma this year. But softball talk to the side for a little bit. I did stalk you on TikTok. I love your TikTok, by the way. What's your TikTok handle? Like, shout it out so people can follow
okay,
you.
Okay, it's Nelly_M.M. That's it. Plain simple. Easy.
Simple. I'll be scrolling on my personal TikTok, not even stalking you, but you'll just come up and I'm like, Nelly girl, I like it. I'm like, there she goes. There she goes again. What's been your favorite TikTok trend? I've been seeing you now that, like, season's underway and you guys are traveling a little bit more. I'm seeing a little bit more of, like, the roommate one, the one that you posted with Cassidy Pickering. That one was pretty funny. But what's your favorite TikTok trend right now?
I like all the dancing trends. I'm a big dancer. I love dancing. But, yeah, I just love the dancing trends. I mean, I think there's one that's, like, I don't know if you don't, but it's like they go like that and they go like that. And then they do, like, different views around, like, wherever they're at. And I really wanted to do that one, but no one wants to do it with me. And I'm not going to do it by myself. I mean, I did it with Ella. I think I posted it with Ella when we had our commercial shoot for Red River Roofing, which is coming out soon, by the way, for everyone that's going to be watching.
Okay, she's an actress.
Yeah, so that one is probably the best one so far.
Okay, I love it. I seriously, I do love it. Speaking of Ella, I did see a TikTok. I believe it was late at night. You guys went to Taco Bell. I think you know which one I'm talking about. And you're like, this is our big back name. Tell us what your big back name is. Tell us what Ella's is. How did you guys come up with that?
Okay, so that whole TikTok was an intrusive thought. Like, we were in line at Taco Bell, and I was like, let me film a TikTok. He's like, okay. So we're just talking about, like, our food, I think. And I'm like, wait, what's your big back name? And we had no idea what our big back names were. So we were, like, waiting for our food and trying to come up with it. So my big back name is Belly Bag of Taquitos. At that time, I was obsessed with the warm-up taquitos for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what? Perfect. Instead of Nelly, we're going to go Belly because big back, obviously.
And, obviously.
You know, Ella has a lot of big back names for some reason. There's like three different people who made one for her.
She's racking them up.
Yeah, so I don't even know what her big back name is at the moment because there's just so many.
I freaking love that. That's too good. She makes me laugh. Talk about somebody. So I guess you guys are the perfect duo because yeah. We were talking before we started recording and I was like, I heard you're the music girl. And you're like, no, that's Ella. Like, Ella's on Ox. You're on Dance. And then it's just the perfect mm-hmm. blend. And then you're both big back. So there we go. Yeah. There we go. I love it. Okay. So let's go over song choices. Because I think you talk a lot about the vibe, like setting the vibe on this field, like got to curate it, all this stuff. So you're driving to a game and it's pregame, you're trying to get amped up, like you're trying to get in the zone. What's the song that you play? And then the song that you play whenever you're doing like late night hitting, you, maybe a couple of other teammates, but it's like dark outside, music blasting in the indoor. And you're just like, let's have a good sesh. Like, let's go. And then what is your walk-up song?
Okay. If I'm driving to the field, the song that – I don't even do this on purpose, but it's always the first one on game days to pop up for some odd reason. But it's Welcome to Jam Rock. It's okay. Like that, like, reggae kind of
– little
– beat, yeah. And, you know, I'm not complaining. I love the song. And then hitting sesh, if I'm by myself, I'm playing Hawaiian reggae.
Mm-hmm.
No one really likes reggae the way I like reggae, which is like, duh. I mean, no one is really from Hawaii but me and Ilana. But if I'm by myself, I'm playing reggae. If I'm with someone, or especially Ella,
mm-hmm.
for some reason, Ariana Grande always pops up.
And personally,
I'm not the biggest fan.
I feel that, yeah. But hold space, I guess.
Yeah, like. But it sets the tone. It's chill, I guess. Yeah. And then my walk-up song is Grills by Nelly. Cause duh.
Yeah, I remember so Jossie and I lived together. Late night hitting sessions, Jossie would always play Hawaiian music. And it was such a vibe. It was great. And then she'd switch it over to the most foul rap you've ever heard. And I'm like,
yeah.
She's crazy. I actually need to tell you this, but Jossie last year, I was like, I don't know the freshman. Like, the only one I knew was Cass because I grew up knowing her. And I'm like, all these girls. And I was like, oh, Josh, like, you know Nelly. And she's like, oh, let me tell you about Nelly. And she had nothing but seriously, like, the best things to say about you. She's like, she's a stud. Just wait until she plays. Like, she's fantastic. All this stuff. So she was your biggest hype man last year. And if you're an OU fan, and I'm already on the Nelly train, but if you're not yet, if Jossie says Nelly's the real deal, mm-hmm. Nelly's the real deal. Like, look at what she's been doing. It's fantastic. I love it. And, like, I think to that point of the next level, the real deal, you look at athletes like Jossie, like Tiari, like you, who know what it takes to be there. There's a certain level of softball IQ that kind of comes into play. And I feel like that's not really talked about enough of, yeah, you have to perform. Yeah, you have to be really tough. But what does it mean to have softball IQ? Because I think that's a little bit different than a mindset, than a mentality. And IQ is just straight up knowledge of the game, is being able to be in the box and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I know she's going to throw a rise ball up and in. Like, I couldn't tell you why, but I know it. I'm sitting that so hard and I'm just going to blast that out there because I know it's coming, right? That is softball IQ. That's instinct. And that's something that I think college players, as you go throughout your career, as you get into the rhythm of season, you start to feel that a little bit more. You're like, oh, I'm sitting change right here. Here we go. I'm flipping, right? And so for you, softball IQ-wise, you had mentioned something about charting early on. I'm curious, is there anything that you – then this is just like a straight-up question. Like, I genuinely am curious. Is there something that you were like, man, I never put this two and two together until you started doing those charts?
Yeah, I mean, last year – especially during the World Series, we had like past charts from when we played those teams before, but then we get to the World Series and I'm comparing the two charts and I'm like, oh, they're doing something completely different. So mm-hmm. like, for example, say Jada was up and earlier in the season, she was getting thrown low and in. And I'm looking at the charts and I'm like, nah, this isn't right. So she goes up to bat and I'm thinking, and I'm like looking at the charts and I'm like, well, what would they throw? And I'm like, well, they're doing something completely different. So let's go up and out. So I'm like thinking that, and like, I'm not saying anything because like, I didn't trust my instincts at this point. I mean, like, I have no idea. And I'm like, oh, like it would be interesting if she threw an up and out pitch, threw a pitch up and out, Jada blasts it over the fence. And I'm like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh.
Be cool. You've been here before.
Yeah. But I think it's just like charting wise, it's like you can learn so much by what you put to paper because mm-hmm. it takes away the thought behind things. Mm-hmm. It's like if you're obviously seeing like this is what they did last time, this is what they're doing now, like there's just so much more that you can see coming because you're not thinking about, oh, but what if this, what if that? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, there's no what ifs. It's literally, it's right in front of your face.
Mm-hmm. So I think that if it's not A, it's B. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's so cool because sometimes as a hitter, you already are at a disadvantage. Like pitchers, they have the advantage going into it. They get one strike and advantage just shoots up, right? But being able to find those little things, and I think sometimes you're like, ah, gosh, I'm like, everybody knows, like, it's not the most exciting or glamorous thing. Like, I'm on chart duty. But there is so much wisdom to be learned there because you start to learn tendencies of not just maybe one team, but overall you start to see, okay, this is how pitchers think. This is how pitching coaches, the catcher, whoever's calling the game, this is how they think. And you start to see those patterns. And that's whenever you're in game and you're like, oh, let me switch. Let me go opposite right now and see if I'm right. I feel it. And then like you said, you kind of mentioned like, I didn't trust myself back then. Have you gotten to the point where whenever you feel that like gut feeling, are you going, okay, like whatever this is, I'm trusting it, I'm going after it? Or how do you balance that with your current plan?
I mean, I think I definitely started trusting myself more in the South Carolina series. Mm-hmm. We had done all of our film on the pitchers. We like had an idea of what they were going to do. And then I get into my first at bat and I'm like, we just watched film on her. She's going to throw me an up and in. I get the up and in, I hit it, blast it, whatever. I'm like, okay, wait, I was right.
Whatever.
I was like, wait, I actually did that. And then coming into this Arkansas series, we had done our film on them. We knew that lefty girl had a nasty screwball. Like, it was going to come up and into righties, away to lefties. And after I had hit that first ball on her, I was thinking, like, there's no way she's going to come and do it again. So I'm going up, and then I'm on deck, and I'm watching – I think it was Ella in front of me, and Ella got pitched the same. And I'm thinking, like, I don't think she's going to come up and in on me, but, you know, there's a chance she might. So I think I'm going to sit up and in. I get in the box, up and in again. I'm like, wait, what's going on? And then later in the series, they're starting to make their adjustments. So I'm noticing that, like, they're not pitching the same batter, the same thing that they had in their prior bats. So I go to JT and I'm like, JT, if she pitches me a first pitch fastball, then I'm just going to start sitting fastballs. If she pitches me a first pitch changeup, then how do you feel about me just flipping it, all changeups? And he goes, do it. And I'm like, bet. All right.
Most JT thing ever, right?
So I get in the box and I'm timed up for a fastball. I'm like, I'm going to sit fastball. First pitch changeup. I'm like, oh, I'm flipping it. So I don't know if you can like see me, but I'm a big talker. So I talk to myself in the batter's box all the time. So I get the first pitch changeup. I step out and I'm like, flip it. And I'm like doing it with my hand. I'm like looking at the dugout. I'm like, I'm flipping it. So I get back. I'm like, okay, set my timing down for a changeup. She pitches a changeup, base up the middle. And I have never been so proud of myself ever. And I'm like looking at the dugout and I'm like, I did it. Guys, I did it. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, but I think just from where I was last year to now, I feel like I'm kind of growing more into trusting myself just because all the preparation that we do with JT and like just mm-hmm. hitters in general, it's like you got a 50-50 chance. I'm risk reward type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Oh, well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I just think the knowledge that these college athletes get to learn and the fact that you're willing to sit down and just talk about it and just yap it up, like, that is so big, because there's so many athletes out there that have never even thought about that, or they're like, it's boring. Like, it's not this big glamorous hit. And the hit came from, like you said, the film that you watched, the charts that you looked at, just listening, learning, asking questions, being observant, like, all that came because of all the work that you put in before. And sometimes they are willing to put in the work. They just don't know, like, okay, but what do I do? How do I get there? Right. And so this is my favorite part about it. These interviews is just the IQ portion of the game. Like, the things that you just learn and you pick up and it becomes instinct and you're going, I'm flipping it. And then you get the hit. Like, that's what I love to hear. So Nelly, thank you so much. Good luck this weekend. And I guess I'll be cheering you on. Let's go, Captain. Let's go.
Thank you. Thank you. This is my absolute favorite show ever. So, like, comment, subscribe, do everything, please.
I love it. See you, Nelly.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Oh my gosh. I definitely paid her to say that. I'll send her a check in the mail. We love Diamond in the South. And we love Nelly, but I just, again, like, to that point of being able to go to the next level. Sometimes people think, like, oh, it has to be a certain type of, all right, I have to hit 10 home runs to go to the next level. I have to be so strong to go to the next level or play on this team. But sometimes going to the next level is just literally sitting, watching, observing, asking questions and going, huh, like, this actually is deductive reasoning. Like, if I hit this pitch, she'll probably come back in. Oh, I'm watching and she's not making that adjustment. Like, those kinds of changes. A couple weeks ago, we got to talk to Danica Coffey, and that was something that she said. And that to me was huge. That was huge, that adjustment that she made. But to wrap up today, we are just going to run through the weekly updates and headlines that is happening in SEC softball this week. We have Texas versus Auburn. Number 2 Texas, they host number 2 Auburn in a key SEC battle. So Auburn, they have fallen behind in conference play. They're 0-6. They need a statement win. They need something to make them stand out. And what better way to do it against Texas? But I will say, Texas's pitching staff, it has been rolling so, so deep. They are so consistent, and you could look to any one of their arms. I really love it. And I want to say here, I did call Texas winning that series. Just something about them, the way that they looked, their consistency of the pitching staff, which I think as we get deeper into SEC play, conference play, you're going to see that become more of a key takeaway. A key question is, okay, but how is their pitching staff, or how are they using their arms? Because now there's scouts out. Now there's a little bit more film that's current updated against SEC teams. And I think that's going to be a big factor. So Oklahoma, they swept Arkansas. We heard Nelly talk about that a little bit. They are the only team in NCAA to remain undefeated in Division I. They're 28-0. They took 3 straight from Arkansas. Gabby Garcia, she is the co-player of the week for the SEC. She powered Oklahoma with 3 home runs in the series. I mean, just absolute nuke. She's been lights out, just a freshman that has been showing up and showing out. Texas A&M, Amari Harper, she went off as well. She had a .714 batting average and crushed 2 home runs. They swept at Auburn, and A&M, they have been on such a roll. And I remember visiting them in the fall,
and the coaching staff going like, I don't know if we're going to have that same kind of power. I know we're going to be really good, but I don't know what our offense is going to look like. And I think their offense has really stepped up and gotten that power that they were wanting, but also they've been so creative with how they're generating and manufacturing runs. I love it. It's fantastic. LSU, they're staying hot. They swept number 23, Kentucky. LSU is ranked number 4. They were led by freshman of the week, Torrey Edwards. She hit 462 with 9 RBIs in the past week. The pitching standouts, Oklahoma, Sam Landry. She pitched in all three games, against Arkansas, throwing a complete game shutout and earning 2 saves, which is big time. And then we have Miley Wacheno from Ole Miss. She had 2 complete games, a win and a save. And just 3 hits all weekend. That in SEC play is big, 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 big. We're starting to see a little bit of rumblings, I think. Am I calling it early? I don't know, but we're starting to hear some rumblings from Ole Miss, and I think that they have been a little bit of a sneaker. They're a team to have to watch out for, and you have to be on your game whenever you're playing them. You can't look over them. Top SEC teams, I think we all know where this is going. Oklahoma 28-0, Texas 27-1, Florida 26-3, and then LSU 24-1. Rounding that up is Texas A&M 22-3. And I just think that the way that SEC has really started to come into more of a rhythm, you're starting to see, like I mentioned, okay, what do these pitchers do? How does this team compete? Do they play up to this level? Do they crumble whenever the pressure gets big? And the teams themselves are learning, okay, maybe we do crumble. How do we change that? And you're starting to see these teams adjust. And the ones that have been adjusting quickest, those are the ones that have been making the biggest impact. I have a question for y'all. 2, actually. 1, who do you think the most underrated SEC pitcher is right now? Because we're seeing a lot more pitching staffs, and I feel like there's been a lot of talk of pitch by committee, pitch by situation, and we're starting to see, okay, maybe they're not an everyday starter, but this is a pitcher that teams go to whenever they need to get out of an inning, whenever it's a big time moment, and they are relied upon and they're called upon time and time again, and they've been delivering. Like, I think that's an underrated pitcher. Somebody who maybe has a couple less innings than an ace, but they are just solid. They get that big game 2 win. They are able to push their team into the win of the series or the sweep of the series, whatever it may be, or that 1-1, that big pivot game. Having a pitcher as a solid 2, like, I feel like there's a lot of underrated pitchers, so I'm curious what you guys think they are. And then who do you think wins whenever it comes to, I don't know if wins is the right word, but whenever it comes to production, as far as I get this runner on, I know that once I get them on, if I get them to second base, the odds of them scoring are high. I'm tough with 2 outs. I'm tough with runners in scoring position. There's a lot of momentum. There's a lot of pass at bat. Who do you think is winning at that right now the most? Who is that team? Florida, to me, with the exception of this past weekend, Florida to me has been that team so far this year. But I'm curious. I know there's other teams out there. What do you guys think? Let me know. They are just so many good conference matches coming up. But let me start with the out-of-conference matchup. It's not conference, but high, high stakes, South Carolina and Texas Tech. I'm curious about that one. Alabama and A&M, that one is going to be fun. Arkansas and Tennessee, I think, is my number one matchup for the weekend, though. I think that is going to be big because both of these teams have something. But there's a couple of things that they need to fix. And I think I said that last year about them. I really like them. But there's just 1 or 2 tweaks that they need to make to really get everything going and moving and grooving all in the right direction. And the team that figures it out first, they're gonna be brutal to have to deal with because they have all the pieces. Sometimes it's just about how does the team have their synergy? How's the mindset? How's their toughness? And I want to see these two teams battle it out and see who comes out on top. But that's all I have for you guys this week. My name is Nicole Mendez. I'm your host of Diving into the South. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to not just my podcast, but all the podcasts on the South America Network. And I will catch up with you guys next week.